had in Africa. So I thought you might just get a blessing about it. It'll just probably help you pray for him more and the ministries over there. Our missionaries need your prayers. We'll talk about that afterwards. Thank you. Do we move this?
No.
Okay.
Missionary here in Malawi, Africa, and we're really, really thankful for all that you've done and all that you will do to help Campaigns for Christ be able to come over and just take part in reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. This country is certainly a place where it's still very possible to have large crowds come and sit and listen to the scriptures, listen to the gospel being preached. So it's very few people who are willing to take their time and their money to be able to come and do this. And we want to say thank you for what you've done and what you will do in the future to do all you can do to enable them and even come yourself if the Lord gives you that opportunity. Appreciate it.
Hi, I'm Dave Darling, Director of the Campaigns for Christ. We're here in Malawi, Africa with our first campaign in Malawi. And it's been a great success. We've had a great organization with the help of the missionary David Robinson. This is our third meeting. The first two meetings, we had approximately 600 people come and 80 or so accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. We actually ran out of scriptures about a day and a half early. We gave out 100,000 books of John and Romans and invitations to come to evangelistic meetings like this. And we're praying about doing two more campaigns. The next one's going to be in April of 2023, and Lord willing, in the fall of 2023 in the southern part of Malawi. So we love to get a team of 20 people together for each one of those and bring them over here and just help us distribute the scriptures. We have 280,000 scriptures ready to ship in the next couple months, and what we need some people to come help us distribute them. And it's an amazing opportunity. These people, probably 99 out of 100 people, will accept the Word of God. And we have great turnouts. And I just want to encourage anyone who is thinking about coming to Mission Trip to join us and come and help bear the fruit.
Hello, my name is Josh Stevenson. I'm the pastor of Bible Believers Baptist Church in El Cajon, California. Out here with Campaigns for Christ in Mazuzu, Malawi, and on a missions trip. You can hear the singing going on behind us. We got a meeting that's going on right now. And I'd like to encourage you, if you're thinking about going on a missions trip, you ought to go with Campaigns for Christ. Everything is organized, set up very well. You'll get a great opportunity to be able to get out gospel tracts, get out scriptures. We've got to see many people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. It is something that will change your life. I know it has changed my life. It has opened up my eyes even more to missions. And I would like to encourage you, if you're thinking about going on a missions trip, or maybe this is the first time you're thinking about it, you really ought to try to go if you're able to. Start praying about it. The campaigns that are going on here in Malawi, there's a great vision here for this country. And so please pray for the future missions trips that will happen here. And hopefully one day you'll be able to be a part of it. God bless you.
Hi, I'm Pastor Kyle Stevens, pastor of Blessed Hope Baptist Church in Coon Rapids, Minnesota. Our church is also the home for Campaigns for Christ. And we just finished the Malawi campaign of August 2022. We got out over 100,000 John Romans, as well as campaign flyers. We had three separate meetings. Each meeting, in this case, drew around 500 people. We saw a large number at each meeting come forward for an invitation, and the locals dealt with them in their own language, and we're confident that quite a large number received Christ as their Savior. But this campaign has been it's been hard work and all those things. A ton of stuff has to come together. It certainly takes the Lord to do it, but we've had a great time. We're just getting on the bus now to head back to the airport. We have a four-hour drive in front of us, but the 2 weeks we were here was, it was hard work, very intense, lots of changes and alterations, but it was just very, very good. And in the end, as you get ready to go home, you realize the Lord has done some things in the lives of other people as well as your own that you're just not going to get by sitting at home. And while it's great to support missions, to go on a mission trip that's not a cultural exchange or just a something to where you go pass out tracts and you know, tour an orphanage or something like that, to really go and try to put the Word of God out on a large scale. The missionary here, Brother Robinson, is confident that this really shook Mazuzu, which is the city we were in for the last 2 weeks. And we've basically been in the suburbs of other cities as well, but three major meetings, and it was just really great. I would just encourage all that could do it. It'll make a change in your spiritual life, your Christian life, and you'll get to sow some rewards in heaven.
Yeah, my name is Daniel Nirenda. I'm the pastor for Charity Baptist Church. And I'm so glad today, after finishing a great campaign for Christ evangelism program, where we have passed out 100,000 John and Romans books with the gospel at the back of it. And you know what impact that is? That's a great impact. And we have registered people who would follow up on discipleship classes later on. Almost 200 people have already registered, and people are still registering. That's a great impact right there. And we've had in the meetings over maybe 200 or 400 people getting saved in those three meetings. We are so thankful for the people that have come from the United States, from America. That was a real great visitation. And I would like to ask you, if you are out there for the next campaign that will be happening in Lilongwe, please come through or do something about it. Help us so that we can do this work. It involves a lot of work. You know, we had to involve other pastors from Malawi who had to come in here and help out so that we can pass all those tracks. It involves a lot of work. So we really need your help so that you can actually come and help out and pass out those gospel tracks. Those not gospel tracks, but the John and Romans. So it is a great time. I would love to see you next year when we're having another campaign. Please have a blessed time. Thank you.
Isn't that great? You know, you all have a part in that. And we support Brother Robinson, and then we send a check, right? I think we sent him a couple $1,000s for his campaign. So, and that was from your offerings. And so you all have a part in that. I would encourage you, I know all those men, Darling and Josh Stevenson down there in San Diego, and Brother Kyle's a good man. And of course, Dave. But I would encourage you to look into that. Maybe a couple like Tom and Simone. And that wasn't necessarily a missions trip for them, but it was, you know, husband, wife, you know. Farm out the kids. Amen. And take your wife, or take your teenagers, you know, and go over and do something like that. You'd be blessed. And be a blessing for you. Probably something you'd never forget. And so I just want to encourage you to you know, check it out. I'll keep promoting it. We keep getting letters from Kyle every once in a while. Tell him what his next campaign is. And it's going to be the same one, I guess, down there in southern Malawi. And I don't know what if they were northern or the middle, but the northern part is the dangerous part up there, as I've already addressed from the pulpit here. But nonetheless, they got some decisions. You get some conflicting numbers. How many got saved? One said 80 here or something, whatever. But doesn't matter. You know, they got out a couple hundred thousand, was it, of those gospel rooms. You see that we're giving people at work, a guy laying bricks and a guy in a ditch, and you know, that's how that's their transportation around there, getting a little Toyota pickup and get about eight guys in the back and driving around down there. Okay, so praise the Lord. Any questions or comments? Okay, well, goodbye. Good night. All right. Take a Bible. I'll just give you a couple of verses here tonight as I try to keep my time and get you home so you can all get to bed or watch TV or something, you know, whatever you do when you go home. Where's my Bible? Okay. Thank you, brother. Go to Titus. There's a verse in there. You know, we all can't go and do that kind of thing. But we can help them. And we can help them with our prayers. And we can help them with our money. The Apostle Paul was not shy about talking about money or helping those in the ministry. We're not shy at all. And put it just right like how it is. Notice what he says to these two guys that are coming over there, that he wants to come over there to Nicopolis, as I ended this morning. You know, he's going to send a couple of guys, or he asked to send a couple of guys over to him, or one or the other, in verse number 12. He said, "When I shall send Artemis unto thee, or Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me." So he's asking Titus to come on over there, so he must be relieving him, or maybe giving him a little break. And so he's sending Artemis, Tychicus, to maybe he's taking a sabbatical. That's what Spencer did here a while ago. I remember Spencer Baker coming over here, and he took a sabbatical. When he's over there, you know, you've heard of missionaries, and I've heard of them coming home and being home for a year, and even off the field, and they don't tell anybody. We keep sending them support, and that's not right. They need a break. You know, they're full time. I mean, they're going. You ought to hear some of the stories from Dave Robinson. You saw him up there, and some of the things that he runs into, a lot of things are very unpredictable. And some of the dangers they even face, and of course the hardships. Most of those guys over there have to build a big fence around there. I've known missionaries to build a 12-foot concrete fence, or if that, a wall with a barbed wire at the top to prevent thievery, and because they have to put bars like jail bars, you know, on their windows. So they're going for it. And when Spencer came over here, he had to take a break, or just felt that, you know, I really appreciate him because he thinks of his family and knew that they needed a break. There's a lot of stress on the family. Get stress paralysis, I guess, but whatever. But a lot of stress. And so he sees that in his family, so he had to took a sabbatical. And of course, he did hear what Paul's doing, and he brought over Bill Bailey. Remember Bill Bailey? Won't you come home, right? And Bill Bailey, he was a missionary in Greece for 20 years, and he's retired now. He had a church out in Chehalis, he brought Bill Bailey and brought him over to Hawaii to take his church for a month or the month that he was gone. And that's what he's doing here. He says in verse number 12, "When I shall send Artemis," he said, the only time you find his word that in the Bible, under the or Tychicus, and Tychicus we looked at this morning, was a fellow laborer and a fellow servant and a beloved brother and a faithful minister that Timothy picked up over there in Ephesus back in Acts chapter 20, I think it was Ephesus, and he picked him up. And And so took him, brought him over, and he says, "Now you be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter." Now notice in verse number 13, and just what I wanted to look at, in verse number 13 he says, "Bring Zenas," and that's the only time you find his name in the Bible, "the lawyer, and Apollos on their journey." Bring them with you, Titus. Are you following me? Bring them with you. Zenas is a lawyer. Now, like I said, it's the only mention of him in the Bible. And, while it's true that many of this profession vehemently opposed the Lord Jesus Christ, you read the times that lawyers are mentioned in the Gospels, and it's always in a negative. "Woe," and the Lord Jesus Christ himself, "woe unto you lawyers," in Luke 11:52, if you want to mark that. "Woe unto you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge." Well, look at it real quick and look at it, because I can't complete quoting it. But Luke chapter 11, I'll just show it to you real quick, since this is a Bible study, and we're a Bible-believing church, so better give them some Bible, right? And look at 11:52. He says, "Woe unto you lawyers." And one time a guy asked Dr. Ruckman, he said, "Well, what does the Bible say about lawyers?" He says, "Woe unto you." A lawyer asked him that. You know, he said, "Woe unto you lawyers. Curses unto you." Amen. And "woe unto you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge," he says. And he said this, he says, "Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in, ye hindered." That's pretty bad. You wouldn't go in, you wouldn't believe, and you prevented others from going in. Woe unto that guy. Are you here? Woe unto that person that turns turns another person away from the faith, like that guy did over in Acts chapter 13, attempted to turn the deputy away from the faith. Wasn't it something like that? And so that's what the book says about. But here's a good lie about lawyers, and there's good lawyers, I'm sure. I mean, a lot of guys that I know, Brother Aldridge down there in Boise, plays the organ for years, and he's in fact his daughter married Chad Wells, who's in New Guinea, and he's an attorney. I called him. I kind of criticized him one time when he was umping a game. And he was umping, I was pitching. It was about 8 years ago or something like that, or something like, but maybe 10. And I was pitching, and he was calling him, he wasn't calling him good at all. He says, "How are you ever going to perform right on the bar, as a judge, and you can't even call the right balls and strikes?" Oh, we had a good time. And we love one another. But an old joke runs like this. He said, 99% of the lawyers give the rest a bad name. Did you get that? I'll say it again, because it's kind of like a slow freight train here. An old joke runs like this. 99% of the lawyers give the rest a bad name. And we can revise that as a Bible believer, that 99% of the human race gives the rest a bad name. Amen? And that's so. Everybody needs to get saved, that's for certain. All right, so he says here, "Bring Zenas, the lawyer, and with you down here, and Apollos." Now, Apollos is a pretty popular fellow. Go over here to Acts chapter 18. And you should be a little familiar with Apollos. He was the Bible talks about him being a mighty, he is known for his might in the scriptures. And it's an interesting story, and about how he came on the scene in Acts chapter 18. and it's a good lesson for us, ladies and gentlemen, and children. In Acts chapter 18, and you pick it up near the end of the verse, end of the chapter, and verse number 24. "And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria." We mentioned that this morning, did I not? Okay. And that's the center of Gnosticism and philosophy. And that's Alexandria, Egypt. And that's the center of where they got all your Bible perversions. And he says, and a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, and mighty in the scriptures, knew a lot of Bible, and came to Ephesus. And this man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, had a lot of zeal and hot for God. And he said, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord. Now watch it. Knowing only the baptism of John. And that's all he knew about John and his baptism, the manifest Jesus to manifest Jesus Christ to Israel. But notice what happens here. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto him. Now here's a couple of blue-collar workers. Right? They're tent makers. They're church members. In fact, they allowed a church to be started in their house, the scripture talks about. And I've said this and mentioned this before, that they're mentioned six times in the scripture, and every time they're mentioned in the same verse. And what I like to say is that they're a team. They really manifest that quality of one flesh. They're on the same page. Oh, to God, that would happen with many, many, many more people in Christianity. You know, he's got one going one way and one going the other. Amen. And it's almost like an unequal yoke, but get on the same page. They were, and they weren't preachers, but they took him. They knew the Bible, been sitting in church just like you have, and hearing the Word of God taught and rightly divided. The word of the preacher, rightly divided, the word of truth, learned the Bible. But then something about it that it just didn't learn a knowledge puff of up. They took what they learned and used it to influence Apollos, who was used greatly of God in the early church. In fact, there were later on there became some divisions because not that he caused them, but people wanted to follow. They liked him maybe better than Paul. Personalities. There's always personalities. There's no indication in the scripture, although some have said this, and they can. I know what verse they take, and we may look at that. That those two had ought against one another, but I don't. I think that's stretching the point when we'll look at the verse tonight, real quick. And but it says here that in verse number 26, he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom in Aquila and Priscilla, they took him under them, took him over to their tent. Amen. Took him over to the house and had some camel juice. Amen. Camel tea, comma what, whatever. And, you know, maybe some dates or figs. Amen. And he said, and they expounded unto him, this is good, the way of God more perfectly. And what they did is really actually told him, showed him how salvation is by grace in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice it says in verse 27, and he says, and when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, that's a province there in Macedonia or in Greece, it's on the western side. So, and he said, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, and you know, he was doing well. He learned right. He got straightened out on his doctrine, who when he was come, helped them much, which had believed through grace. And so this is the Apollos. Now, look over here to 1 Corinthians, if you would, please, then. It seems like that we know that most of his ministry is in Corinth, in Achaia, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we'll just pick it up there when Paul writes his letter to this carnal church, this church that was baby Christians, acting like a baby, carnal. And notice he says in verse number 12, now this I say unto you, well, verse 11, he said, it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. And so she did the right thing by telling them, by the way. And because that contentions can bring strife, and strife divisions. And he said, now this I say unto you, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I of what? And then the spiritual ones say, I'm of Christ. Get it? That's what they do. They're Apollos. He's Apollos, and he's of Paul, and he's of Cephas or Peter, but I follow Christ. That's how that's it. That's how I look at it anyway. And so he talks about it. So here Apollos is down there. We pick him up again here in chapter 3. I'm just going to look at him real quick and where he appears in the scripture. Chapter 3. And Paul says in verse number 1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. Why? Even as babies in Christ. See, that's why I said baby. Babies and carnal, same thing. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet are you now able. And everybody wants that meat. But boy, I'll tell you, what are you doing? You are not ready for it. Not ready for it. You need some milk again. You have need that someone teach you again the first principles of the Lord back there in Hebrews 5. A time when you should be teachers. That's what he's saying. And he says, you're not able, for you are yet carnal. For whereas there's among you, hopefully not here, and we don't want that, and that we're envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? And the answer to that is yes. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am a carnal, are ye not, I'm of Apollos, are ye not carnal? You're following men. And going by personalities, if I could say that, who then is Paul and who is Apollos? They're the same, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. He said, I have planted. Paul planted it. You know, he was up there in, what was it, in Acts chapter 18. He planted it. Apollos came later, and he said, and Apollos watered. He helped them much, says. Doesn't it say that, that we just read? And he says, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. That's good. They're working together. There's no, you know, he did this and he did that, but they did maybe different things, but it's God. It's God. And we don't want to kind of lift anybody up like that. That's carnality. Verse 22, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world, don't glory in men. In verse number 21, therefore let no man glory in men. Let's be careful of that. And he said, for all things are yours. For whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. One more time, and that's back in 16, chapter 16 of this same book. And chapter 16. And chapter 16, and we're going to stay there. I want you to just kind of put a marker because I want to come back on my next comment that I want to say to finish this short lesson out here tonight. Look at in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and here's one of those chapters or books that Paul wrote, like I said this morning, that he finishes it out with mentioning a few of his cohorts, his workers, fellow workers. And he mentions a few of them. And he says in verse number 10, now if Timothy has come, see that he may be with you without fear. Timothy's a young man, so, you know, be careful. Don't, because you're older, maybe you've been around a little bit longer, and he's coming to minister to you. You know, just receive him, so he doesn't have to kind of walk on eggshells around you, you know, and all that. And he said, for he worketh the work of the Lord, as I also do. Okay? And so he's concerned about them intimidating a young preacher. He says it. Verse number 11, let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren. As touching our brother Apollos. Here you go, last time we see him. And he said, and he says, as touching our brother Apollos, who was a very gifted speaker, we know that, And he says, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren. Watch this now here. I want him to come unto you. But his will was not at all to come at this time. And he didn't badmouth them, they disagreed, right? So this is where they take that there was aught about that. I think the thing you're reading between the lines here, okay? They may have had a disagreement, but notice it says, but his will was not at all to come at this time, but he will come when he shall have convenient time. When he feels it's God's will, sometimes people don't, it's like Barnabas and Paul. They don't agree on something. And they split up, but here he says, hey, he just kind of, Paul kind of lets it brush off, and he said, he'll come. They couldn't get together on this thing. It happens all the time. I remember one time, but it didn't, they were still brothers. He says, as verse number 12, as concern it touching our brother, not our wayward brother, or our brother that's, you know, not following the Lord's will. I remember one time years ago, a brother, and if I mentioned his name, you'd know him. Not very well, you don't know him, but he's been here, and he wanted me to come over to his church, and he had a meeting going on. Let's go back here to Titus, and he says, I want you to come and lead songs. I said, well, I'll pray about it. So I did. I don't feel like going. I didn't feel God wanted me to go. He got mad at me. He got upset. I think you need to. I think God wants you to. Well, he's not my pope. You know, and I love the man. In fact, I used to work with him, with Pastor Blue. And you know, we just had a difference there. I felt, no, I don't. God doesn't want me out there. And I kind of felt I knew what I was going to get into. As I felt, I don't want to be in that. I don't think God wants me to be there. Of course he did. But we love one another. Had him over here to preach. Okay. So I haven't held any bad feelings toward the old man or the old guy. Of course, I'm older than he is. Go back here to Titus. Now watch it. Just a lot of stuff here, isn't it? I love the Bible. Amen. And there's so much. Every little phrase, you can get something out of. Wonderful. Delight in thy word. Amen. Just delight in it. Meditate in it. Think about it. We read too fast sometimes, don't we? We don't meditate enough and think about it. And then look at this next little phrase. He says, bring Zenas and Apollos on their journey. And watch what he says, diligently on their journey, diligently, that nothing be wanting unto him. That's lacking, wanting. And he says, bring them on their journey. Well, that's that. Like I said, right away tonight, Paul's not shy in asking them to take care of somebody. And go over here to Third John, and Third John. It's right before Jude. It's got one chapter, but notice what he says in verse number 4. Paul says, John says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever there doeth to the thou doest to the brethren, and to what? Yeah, somebody that you may not know as well. And the brethren, and which have borne witness, now watch this, of thy charity. Now he's talking to the verse number 1, the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. And he said, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom it, the which is the whom, and the brethren, and whom if thou, you, Gaius, in your group, he said, bring forward on their journey, after a godly sort thou doest well. So what he's saying, he's commending them for their charity, for bringing them, helping them out as they come along. I like when a preacher comes around, even if he doesn't preach, to give them some money. Every time somebody comes to that meeting that we had over there in Dillon, in fact, we gave to preachers here that came to our camp meeting that didn't preach. I help them out a little bit. Come on. I mean, a lot of these guys don't get a salary like the other guys get. I know what I'm talking about. And we used to have that meeting over in Missoula, and we'd always give them, we'd say, you stay two nights in a motel, and we'll take care of one of the nights. If you stay two nights, Monday, and we'll take one, and then on top of that, we'd give them another $100 bill or $200. Praise the Lord! I was happy. I'm happy to do that. I'm a happy man. You know why? It's more blessed to give than to receive. Amen. And we didn't have the money. I mean, we always went in the hole in that meeting. You know, we weren't a big church. But God always, that church has paid off. I paid it off in 12 years, a $500,000 building. Yeah, amen. And so he says, if you do that, after thou should do well. And because he said, because that for his name's sake, they went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles, taking anything from them. So you helped them. You did a good job. Look over here to Romans chapter 15. Let's go look at a couple more scripture and then we'll be done. And so it's a good thing that we help out missionaries. It's a good thing that we support missionaries. I want you to get in your mind, in your heart, our obligation to take care of the men of God, especially missionaries, okay? Not talking about me, not at all, not at all, not talking about me at all, but take care of missionaries. They have left their jobs, some of them well-paying jobs. Dave Robinson, he's a contractor. His dad was here. His dad was here, Dave Robinson and Mary, sitting right there. I'll see him down in Florida. They got two. He owns two houses. He is a contractor and a church builder up in Alaska. And all three of his boys are preacher boys. Paul's pastor up there. John's over in Portland. And, of course, Dave's in Malawi. And that guy was a giver. Now, he went down there, and he's sitting down there and serving down there. But Dave had a construction company when Daniel was going to school, and Dave and Paul taught my Daniel how to frame and build a house. They were building half million dollar houses about 20 years ago, and right down on the Gulf, breezing. If you've ever been down to Pensacola, pretty nice area, and building them down there. And he could have been a very successful contractor like his dad was. Probably be a millionaire. When I saw him on deputation at one time, he's got a bunch of kids, all stuffed into a little Volkswagen almost, and driving around and hauling those kids and sleeping all in one motel room and just roughing it, trying to raise support. Now look what he's doing. Amen. And so what I'm just saying is that it's our obligation to take care of those guys. And that's what Paul says. Look at here in Romans chapter 15. And so we sent money to this fella, this thing up here. And that's good. That's good. You keep giving. Keep giving. And what I'm going to teach on this sometime about how you give your missions. I teach that you ought to give your tithe, and then your missions is an offering, and it's above your tithe. Now, whatever you call your tithe, now tithe ought to be at 10% at least. I'm going to go a couple more minutes here. It ought to be at least 10%. Now, I'm not trying, just as what I've done over the years, I've upped my tithe every year. It's not a tithe anymore, it's a twithe or something. That's just me. And I've upped that, but And or maybe even one year I gave 40% of my income to the Lord. That's the year I made the most money. Go figure. Go figure. Come on. Anyway, anything above that, you pray about that. And what I want you to do to this church, I want you to pray about upping your missions giving. Maybe $1 a week. No matter. Just that, who cares? Whatever God has you do. I don't care. But ask the Lord. I'd like to give some more to missions. That's your offering. And just pray about it. Won't you do that? It's a good thing to do. Romans chapter 15. I wasn't going to say that tonight. I was going to save it for another time. But Romans chapter 15, and Apostle Paul says this. I'll give you a couple more scripture. We're done. chapter 15, Paul says this in verse 24. He said, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, you know, and he says, I will come to you, to the Romans, for I trust to see you in my journey and to be brought on my way thitherward. How? By you. So has no problem at saying that. I'm going to trust that you are going to take care of me. How do you like that? He's not a mutinary. But he said, I'll trust that. He says, he said, I trust that to be brought on my way by you. At first, I may be somewhat filled with your company. I'd like to fellowship with you. But I'd like to just get that money and then and move on, because now I go to Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia, you read about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. That's good. And there's a lot of giving going on here. It hath pleased them verily, in verse 27, and their debtors they are, for if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, salvation through Christ, the Bible, good preachers like Apollos and Paul, he says, if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. That's mula. Okay? That's something tangible. So, okay. Good thing here tonight. I hope you got something from that. I hope you pray about some of these things. Amen. We want to be used of the Lord, and we can all be used in various ways. Amen. And so pray about those things. Lord, thank you now for the Bible. Love you, Lord. Love the Bible. Oh, God, help me to understand it better. And God, help us all to observe it and keep it and hide it in our hearts, that we might not sin against thee. And God, that memorize it and meditate on it, and so that in our dealings with people, and we'd have them tomorrow, we'll have them tonight, we'll have them tomorrow, this week. Dear God, I'll be on an airplane, I'll be in an airport, I'll be in a couple of airports, and I'll be in a strange city and motels. And Lord, I'm going to have a lot of opportunities to be a testimony of your grace. And so I pray and so are these folks. And so I pray that you'd help us to get that word in us and ask you to fill us with thy Holy Spirit and confess sin, so we can be a vessel unto honor, we can be clean. And so that, Lord, you can use us. We greatly desire that. We want to please you. We want to help people. So help us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, what do we got here? How about, must Jesus bear the cross alone? Number 342. And, okay, 706. Amen. No problem. We're in good shape. 342. 342. Appreciate your patience, your attention. 342, if you want, you can stand. If you don't want to, you don't have to. Number 352. Mm-hmm. Ha, 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 ha.